We're going to look at each of the spiritual gifts that God endows to each one of his people by the power of his Spirit. And these spiritual gifts, we are told in the passage we read, are revealed when each of us use these spiritual abilities, which we will unpack these. Today we'll go through six today, and then we'll go through all the ones listed in Scripture. And by the way, we are going to, in the passage, we're not going to cover the gift of prophecy, which will be one of the later sermons by itself, in Independence, and also the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That will be another full sermon for that. That's the plan anyway. So just so you know, we're not skipping over it. All Scripture is God-breathed. But when we use our gifts, we are told that they are, verse 7, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, during family worship, we've been reading this very helpful book, Knowing Christ by Mark Jones, and we're talking about we're reading the section in Mark Jones's book on how the way that Jesus did his ministry and the way that Jesus did his miracles are not merely because, think about it. When Jesus did those miracles, right? Like water into wine, walk on water, right? We tend to think, of course he did. He is Jesus. He is God, right? Right? We think because he's God, he can do those things. But Mark Jones show in his book, in the Scriptures, that Jesus did those things, actually, based on his human nature, as he was fully dependent on God, the Holy Spirit. See, some of you may recall in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 that in Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, right? It was the Holy Spirit that drove him in the wilderness. It was the Holy Spirit that empowered him to endure Satan's temptations, three of which are explicitly recorded in those passages. And it was the Spirit that empowered him furthermore to carry out his ministry. So in other words, we think, of course Jesus did those things. Of course Jesus didn't sin. He is God, right? But really, more specifically, the Scripture tells us that Jesus did all those things. He put aside his divine privileges and abilities, and he was fully human. He fully represented us so that he was able to overcome sin, do all the other works of ministry, serve, teach, heal by the power of the Spirit. Now, that is significant. You all think, what is that going to do with us? Here's what. When the Scriptures tell us that when we use our spiritual gifts, we reveal Jesus. See, Jesus had all the gifts. You know what I'm trying to say? Right? He served people, he taught people, he healed people, right? You know what I'm trying to say? Right? He had the gift of faith, which we'll unpack what exactly that means, right? He had all the gifts. Now, if you were with us 2 weeks ago, if you weren't there, listen to the sermon online, you'll recall that the Scriptures teach us that every Christian has at least one gift, and no Christian has all the gifts, right? Right? There's a beauty to that. There's a beauty to that. I'll tell you what it is. It's because, and you can think about, and even when you reflect on it, you'll come to the same conclusion. One, it forces us to depend on each other. Right? Right? It forces us to depend on each other. And two, God desires that through the use of our gifts, every one of us, in this local body and the global church, that we'll reveal Jesus everywhere. Everywhere. We'll reveal the power of Jesus, which is the power of his Spirit, everywhere. And so, by way of introduction, we find that here, we are told that when we use our spiritual gifts, it reveals the power of the Spirit through us, verse 7, and the purpose of it is to reiterate what we talked about 2 weeks ago, for the common good, that is, the purpose of the spiritual gifts has one function, namely the upbuilding of faith, to make people's faith stronger towards Jesus. And that can be understood in two aspects. One, for those who are already following Jesus, for us to help each other trust Jesus more. And the other aspect is for those who have yet to come to know Jesus, to draw them in, inspire them that in the use of the gifts, it would attract them towards the gospel, okay? So just to kind of, by way of introduction, just for us to remember. Okay, good. So what we're going to do here is I want to show you. I'm going to talk about each of these six gifts. I'm lumping the first two, actually, together. Under these categories, a definition, like what is the gift? Because there's some confusion regarding, like, what is each gift, actually. Second, how does it actually bless the church? Like, if you find yourselves, you have one or two of these gifts, how can you be used to build up the church family? And then third, some suggestions as to how we can grow in the use of that specific gift. Does that make sense? You following? Okay, we're going to talk same three categories for all six of these. Okay, next slide. Okay, good. It's big. The font's big enough. Good. Okay, so I'm just going to let you read that for 30 seconds. It's in your bulletin, right? This thing? Yeah? Okay, good. You have that at home. Good. I'm going to be selective regarding which aspects I unpack under the growth section, right? But if you, when I was preparing this sermon, all of these aspects apply as to how to grow in the use of your specific gift. Does that make sense? Right? But for the purpose of this sermon, I'm only going to pick and choose aspects for specific gifts. Are you following? Yeah? Okay, so this sermon, you really have to pay attention because there is a level of, I hope, if you really listen, helpful precision. Like, it's going to be very precise. So I need you to really listen for you to benefit. Because if you kind of fall asleep halfway, you're like, what? What happened? And then you start listening, you're like, what did he say? Whoa, you know? So you need to, I really hope that you can really focus, okay? And I'll try my best to be clear. Okay, I really tried my best because the preparation was very difficult for this particular Sunday. So, okay, are we ready? Are we ready? Let's go. Okay, first two. The message of wisdom and the message of knowledge, as you see in 1 Corinthians 12, it is here if you have the ESV Bible. It is called the utterance of wisdom, verse 8, and the utterance of knowledge. I'm going to lump those two together. Let me read you a couple of verses here that focus on what type of knowledge. This is spiritual knowledge, and this is spiritual wisdom. I'll explain in a second. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, is what we're told. And it's in the context of spiritual prophecy, faith that moves mountains. And again, regarding wisdom, chapter 1, verses 22 onwards, that Jews demand signs and Greeks that seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. And at the end of the verse, we're told that Christ is the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God. In other words, first of all, you got to unpack this a little bit. The utterance of wisdom. First, what is it? Whatever it is, this knowledge, information, is spiritual related. Okay, right? Because, I mean, this is in the context of understanding. By spiritual, I don't mean like, ooh, like, you know, ghostly, like, you know what I mean? Oh, heaven. I don't mean that. I mean, it is in accordance to God's will. Does that make sense? In accordance to his word, his truth. That's what I mean by spiritual. It is spiritual knowledge as in what this information is centered on God's words and his truth. Okay? And wisdom, what's wisdom? Wisdom, one helpful definition I always felt is more broadly, even apart from spirituality, wisdom is the skill in living well. If you want a functional definition, skill in living well, right? It's hard to live well. Organize your life together, get your finances straight, right? Please your family, right? Fill your responsibilities and take care of your body, right? That's natural wisdom, if you will. But spiritual wisdom includes the whole of life, but it is, again, in accordance to God's perspective. We see that in these passages. Let's go to the actual definition. Good. Word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is the Holy Spirit-given ability to discern God's perspective and will in light of his grace and the cross of Jesus Christ. But that's not all. To know that is not what this gift actually is. It's to receive it and to speak it. Does that make sense? That's why the ESV translation says the utterance of wisdom. When you utter something, you are speaking something, right? So in other words, this gift is not just information in, and that's it, right? This is, does it make sense? In, and then you speak it to someone to encourage their faith. Word of wisdom. Okay, I told you it's going to be precise. Some of you are like, uh-oh, I'm dozing here. You didn't have my head coffee. Okay, just concentrate. I promise you it'll be beneficial if you really listen. Word of wisdom, what is it? It is the Spirit-given ability to evaluate realities. You know, wisdom, right? Like, in order to be wise, you need to know what's going on in the world. Like, how does the world function? And act in light of it to make your life successful, right? Health. Wealth. Okay, no, that sounds like prosperity gospel. But you know what I mean. Keep your body healthy. You know, get your family healthy. You know, make sure you are growing in the Lord. Make sure you're doing your studies well. You're succeeding. Make sure your work is going well. Make sure you're not compromising your family. That's wisdom. That is the skill in living well. But the word of wisdom is that wisdom to evaluate realities in light of God's grace and the cross of Jesus Christ. And again, not just information in, but information out, to speak to others and speak such insights to build up the faith of others. Is that clear? Okay. I had a hard time figuring out the words to make sure it's clear. This is it. Okay, right here. All right. Good. What does that look like? What does that mean? Have you ever had a time where, you know, some of you, I mean, each of us are gifted in different ways, and some of you who are newer Christians, or some of you are who are not as familiar with the Bible. Have you ever had a time where either you or a fellow believer, you know, you're in a conversation, you're in a Bible study or something, and you yourself haven't studied the Bible that in depth, but something comes up, like a thought comes up in your mind, you see? And you say, I don't even know, I mean, this is just an example, but it could be whatever it is that had happened with you. You say, or you hear someone say, it just came to me that there is nothing in the world like the Trinity, like the triune God. There's nothing in the world like the triune God. Nothing is three and one at the same time, not even water, you know what I mean? Like, nothing is three and one at the same time, right? And you're like, and you say that to people, and you're like, hey, that's pretty insightful. And then they say, where'd you come up with that? And you go, I don't know, like, okay, does it make sense? Word of knowledge, right? It is a knowledge about God. Here's another example. Perhaps an example would be, and I actually know a brother in Christ who has this particular gift, the word of wisdom, actually. Here's an example. Speaking to a non-Christian friend who has been coming to church, visiting, you know, here and there. And all of a sudden, you feel a thought or an impression comes on your heart to speak to this non-Christian friend of yours. You say, hey, you know, I'm so encouraged you're here at church. You know, as sad as it was last year that you had to go through all the hardship, maybe this was God's plan all along. And the person hearing it was already thinking that. You see? It's like this perfect, you know, almost like coincidental but timely word to go, you know what you went through? That wasn't for nothing. You see? You know what I'm trying to say? That's okay. Has anyone experienced that before? Or seen that happen? Okay, yeah, okay. Has anyone experienced that before? A little bit? Yeah, no? Okay. That's why we got to talk about it. I'll conclude at the end. You know what I mean. Okay. And if we're ever to grow in this gift, there's many areas. The one I want to focus on is actually, how do you study the scriptures regarding this particular gift, if you had it? This is one example. You can actually apply this. Let's go to the next slide. This is a free website called Knave's Topical Bible. So, what do you do? Okay, so here's me, training mode now. Sermon off, training mode for 1 minute. You go to this website called, just Google it, Knave's Topical Bible, and you go, huh, I want to study about wisdom in the Bible. Let's go to the next slide. Let's go to under W. Huh, wisdom. It must be between wafer, what? Wafer and writing. Okay, wisdom. Click, next. Oh, wisdom. Hey, okay, click, next. And then boom. Okay, good. You have all these scriptures that speak about wisdom. So in any of the giftings that we're going to talk about, and you're interested in studying the scriptures more, you don't even need to ask me, like, where did you go? Just go to the, just do that. You know what I mean? Like, find the keyword. It's free. It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay, good. All right, let's move on, okay? One more thing is, if you ever find that you're gifted in that area, one suggestion I read in a commentator was keep a journal of the impression, like the thought, or that word of wisdom that specifically applies into someone else's life that you think was from God, and then keep a journal, like write down what it is, like, you know, if you keep a journal, you know, you date it, write down what it is, just for yourself, right? I mean, you got to keep that really safe, right? Because sometimes I've actually had, anyway, I've actually had such impressions about other believers that I know, right? And I need to anyway, when I talk about the gift of prophecy, I'll go in depth into how to navigate that kind of, because you can really mess up, you know what I mean? If you say something really hurtful, you can really mess up, right, the relationship, right? You know, you can imagine, right? You say something, it's not even true, or if it's true, it's very hurtful in private, right? There are many ways to mess this up, but one suggestion is you write it in your journal. You write, oh, here's the impression, here's the word of wisdom, and you get advice as to how to speak that, if you don't know how to speak that into someone's life. And after you speak, you wait. Okay, so you record like when you spoke to the person, then you wait, okay? And then perhaps the Lord, if you really had the gift, the person will come back and say, remember what you said to me 3 months ago? That was exactly what I needed. I was going through a tough time. That was exactly what I needed. How did you know? And then you say, I don't know. It just came to me. I don't know. And then you go back to your journal and you go, ah, okay, God kind of used that, you see? So, and then that might help you to have self-feedback to know how to use this gift. Or sometimes you mess up and you go, okay, never saying it that way again. Like, God told me to tell you to not to date this person. And they're like, really? You date the person? Horrible first date? Don't say that again, ever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you test yourself. Does it make sense? I'm giving you a tool for self-evaluation and feedback, okay? So, okay, I'll move on. All right, gift of faith. Let's go to the next one. And if I have all faith as to remove mountains. Okay. The gift of faith is not the faith that every Christian has towards God in the gospel. Right? Right? Because we're told that in 1 Corinthians that not every Christian has all the gifts. Right? In other words, only some people would have this gift. Right? Does it make sense? Are you following? Only some people would have the gift of faith as a spiritual gift. Therefore, it can't refer to the faith that all of us Christians have towards God. Does it make sense? Like, it's not that. Are you following? Technical, I told you. Precise and technical. So it's not that. Secondly, it's not faithfulness. Okay, it's not being committed to God in a faithful and persevering way. Because, again, that's one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that we are told in Galatians chapter 5. Because, for the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, right? That's seventh, right? Seventh. Chinese way, seventh, right? Seventh, faithfulness, right? It's not faithfulness because every Christian should be developing in the fruit of the Spirit, which reveals itself in faithfulness. That is the commitment to the Lord. It's not that. So what is it? This phrase, do we have time for the short comment? I will, actually. Because of some of these gifts has more biblical passages on them than others, okay? And I remember when I was sitting through theology class with my previous senior pastor, John Neufeld, he said a line that I'll never forget. He says, the amount of certainty we can have on any teaching of Scripture is directly related to the amount of clarity we have from the Scriptures. Are you following? So in other words, if the Bible is like super, super clear, right, that God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet one God, we can be very, very, very certain that the Bible teaches that. Does that make sense? But if the Bible either does not have enough information or it is hard to interpret, then our level of certainty towards that specific teaching diminishes. Now, don't be frightened, okay? Don't be alarmed. You shouldn't be alarmed. I'll tell you why. It's because think about each of your professions. You operate in exactly the same way, right? Aren't there areas where you're more sure than others, right? In the medical field, isn't there? And even the type of practice, you kind of trial and error it a little bit, right? Some practices, right? It's still yet to be researched. So okay, don't be alarmed. You don't have to be alarmed. I'll tell you why. It's because in the Scriptures, based on our human limitations and perhaps fallenness and prejudices, sometimes we need time to get to clarity, for one. And second, sometimes God... Have you ever thought in your life, if you had a question that you wanted to ask God, and it says, and there's not enough Bible verses to tell you the answer, and you wonder, I wish God would say more about that. But the reality is, He doesn't. He just doesn't, right? I guess this in that moment, for any specific topics, right? Have you ever thought, there's a lot, okay? And I guess the passage that apply in this case is Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and our children, that we may do the things written in this law, Moses says, right? Right? So God only reveals specific things in his word. Here's another alarming thing. Have you ever thought about it? The Bible is a limited book. Like some of you are like, the Bible is a thick book. But if you think about it, it's a limited book. Right? Right? So God doesn't say everything there is about every single thing in the world, not even spiritual matters, actually. Right? Like here's one. Here's one I always wonder. How much of our present life will we remember when we're in the new heavens and new earth? Right? Like, will you and I, right, be able to talk about this moment when we're talking about the Holy Spirit? I don't know. Does the Bible say it? No, it doesn't. It doesn't, right? So therefore, we can't be that certain of it. And therefore, some of these gifts, gift of faith and the previous two gifts, admittedly, if you push me on it, the gift of faith, I would put like, I'm 75% certain. And some of you are like, what? You have 75%? Yeah, I know. It's just, right? And if you push me on it, the previous two, 60%. Now, don't be alarmed, because any of the major doctrines that we believe in as Christians, namely, the existence of, well, the Bible assumes God exists, but God is triune God, there is heaven and hell, Jesus is a historical person, he is fully God, fully man, he did live without sin, he died on the cross for our sins, he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, he is our mediator, by faith in him alone we are saved, those are all clear. Like 98% certainty. You know, because I mean, the other 2% is basically our own frailty, really, right? The other 2%, right? Because when we struggle with belief, if you will, right? That makes sense. But don't be alarmed. In minor doctrines, there is a lack of clarity. Which another side note, I better not jump too far. But that's a brief comment. Is that explains the presence of denominations? Actually, just think about it. Just think about it. Okay, does that make sense? So in other words, I want you to know, and I was thinking about what saying this because I think it is important. Especially from me towards you, in my teaching ministry at our church, you gotta listen carefully now. Whenever I say my guess is, or in my opinion, that is me signaling to you that I'm not that certain, okay? And therefore, you don't need to be that certain. Does it make sense, right? I mean, you gotta investigate the scriptures and get better. But if I say to you, like, are you seeing these in scripture? Now, the point is not whatever I say is authoritative. The point is, can I show you in the scriptures how clear a teaching is, right? So that you can gain certainty yourself, right? So when I say to you, do you see this here, right? But if I ever said, here's my guess, or in my opinion, you know, like that's me telling you. These are languages I use in English to say like, hey guys, I'm actually not that certain, just so you know, right? Like, you know, okay, here we go. So with the gift of faith, if you push me on it, 75%, and here it is. Here's my definition. There's a lot more... I think I put scriptural references in your bulletin that you can look up at home. The gift of faith is the Spirit-given ability to consistently trust in God to accomplish an impossible task, such as for miraculous healing, the driving out of demons, or possibly for living out Christ's more demanding or onerous demands on his disciples. The clearest thing is, I asked Ian Chan for permission to share this, and he gave me permission. Recently, sometimes I carry a lot of burdens. I worry. I think about you guys a lot. I care about you guys a lot, by the way. I want to say that. I want you to know that. I really do. And then I was, you know, sharing, because Ian, you know, he's a good brother in Christ and part of EMSC, and I was sharing with him, and here's what he writes me. And I believe Ian has a gift of faith. So in other words, my suggestion for area of growth is if you have the gift of faith and you want to learn how, talk to Ian, would be one of the people. That's very obvious, right? Because one of the things I listed was what, mentorship? Yeah, I listed mentorship, didn't I? Right, on one of the applications. Good. So here's what he said. He writes me this. We bear many things God never intended for us to bear. Things we bear for his sake. But if we bear the things he intends for us to bear, the burden is light. It's a discernment of that can be hard. So keep at it, James. God's got it covered. When I read that, I'm like, okay, I trust in Jesus. I trust in Jesus. You know, it's almost like even if I have low faith in Jesus, I am like metaphorically like you know that exercise where you like rope to your partner? He's like pulling me along. Okay, you're pulling me along, you know? Gift of faith, that's how it functions in the body. When there may be a circumstance, perhaps what's going on in the world now, that may shake the faith of believers. You know what I mean? But there's going to be certain brothers and sisters endowed with not just general faith in Jesus, that's what we all have, but this, how I define it, this consistent trust in God, even in the face of impossibility, right? Difficulty. And these are the brothers and sisters that we need. And by the way, this faith has to be exercised in a way that is either spoken or influences others. So if you have the gift of faith, I really encourage you, brother or sister in Christ, to use your gift and to help us. I don't have that. I don't have this gift. Help us. Encourage us as a church family in times of difficulty to say, God's got this covered. You know? And maybe God may use that moment when you share that with us and us seeing the peace in your eyes and in your face to calm us down to trust in Jesus. That's certainly what I experienced when Ian shared with me. I want to see more of that. Okay? So, let's move on. Here we go. Gifts of healing. Right, gifts of healing. I'm just going to give you the definition here. The gifts of healing is the spirit-given ability. Now, highlight this. To regularly, okay, highlight this. If you really had this gift, regularly, okay, regularly be the conduit or the person, the means, through whom God grants miraculous healing for various types of illnesses, physical, mental, perhaps even spiritual oppression. And this experience of healing often comes through prayer and the laying of hands. I've seen how it's practiced. I have not seen yet with my own eyes. I've heard testimonies, but I have not seen yet it coming to fruition, if you know what I mean. But when I talk with other brothers that I trust in my previous church, one of whom I remember talking to him for like an hour about this, because I was very curious because I don't have this gift. And several people have described it in the same way. So if you have this gift, okay, I want to share with you so that in case God gives you the gift, you're like, oh, I think I have the gift. You know, so you can identify it. Does it make sense? How it goes is this is patterned after Scripture. Namely, it is accompanied by and this is from, for example, James chapter 5, for example. If you read the book of James chapter 5, you talk with a person and you say, do you have anything that's keeping you from the Lord right now, in your life, you know? Any sinful practices? And if they're a non-Christian, you say like right now you don't know God, but is there any points of particularly evil or selfish or acts that you participate, maybe even worshiping pagan things or, you know, right? Like, you know, going into like, you know, Ouija boards, you know what I mean? Like a spiritual, you know, idolatry and things like that. Is there anything like that? Okay. Well, I want to tell you, like that's kind of what happens because there's a demonic world out there and it kind of, you know, oppresses you, or the world kind of leads us, the Bible tells us, leads us away from God and towards what the Bible calls sin. You have that conversation, you go, well, the way for this to work is like, you know, you need to actually like surrender to God and confess your sin. You teach them how to do that. As a Christian, you know how to do that. You teach them how to do that, or if it's a Christian already, you remind them. You say, you got to confess your sins because you want to be clean before God in the name of Jesus. Jesus forgives you. Jesus died for this very purpose. You say, you explain that. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you say, can I pray for you? And you read the body language. You got to be very careful because I've spoken with people who had gone through, this one sister in particular who had gone through like, one brother in particular who had gone through like abuse as a child, right? And I knew from conversations that like touch is not a good thing. You know what I'm trying to say? Like if I, the question is, would you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder and pray for healing for you, right? You ask for permission, right? But you read the body language, and if it's obvious the person is not comfortable with you touching them anywhere, then don't, right? You touch them obviously in an appropriate place. Shoulder, hand, obviously, right? Come on, guys. You guys are like, anywhere? No, come on. And, you know, thankfully none of you, to my knowledge, have like pulled out my sermons, take a thing out of context, put it on a YouTube and tell me when you do, I'll laugh with you if you ever do that, okay? Depending on what it is, I may not get mad. I probably won't. Anyway, whatever. No, but You ask them that, and then suppose, ideally, they give you permission. You lay hands on their shoulders, and of course, you pray. It's very simple, really. It's you pray that, like, you know, acknowledging God's sovereignty over sicknesses and illnesses. And you say, God, if it's in your will, in the name of Jesus, will you heal this man or this woman or this child now? Now, here it is. Okay, here's the thing I need to report to you. Because more than once, more than three times, I've heard anecdotally that those who have exercised this gift, what they experience, anecdotally, this is not from the Bible now. Remember that category? I want you to have two categories. What does the Bible say? And here's just anecdotes. Their hands feel warm in that moment. And that body part feels warm. It feels warm. Several people have told me, I'm like, oh, really? And then the healing takes place. Whether it's something like as crazy as cancer or a tumor, right? The healing takes place. They go and like get all the scans done and like, hey, it's gone. Or I'm healed. You know, this feels warm. I still remember this one story. Now, this sister I know, but I wasn't sitting because, I mean, my previous church, like very even larger church. So, the sister was actually in my previous church, whose husband played. I'm trying to think. Hold on. I'm trying to think how much information. No, I'm not even going to share that. Let's just say the husband profession has to do with music. Okay, that's a bit better. I need to be careful with people's identities, right? Then I only share things if you gave me permission. Just so you know, that's why I. Okay. All right. So the husband profession is a professional musician, and Hans was going through like intense arthritis, and during communion, the wife, the sister, whom I know very well, quite well, especially at that period when I was ministering at my previous church. And of course, they're sitting next to each other during communion, obviously. At the taking communion, he describes to her, who then reports to me, that his hand felt warm with the bread. It was kind of a strange, you know, and then it was gone. The pain was gone. And it was gone. That's it. I'm like, that's amazing. Praise Jesus. You're taking communion in remembrance of Jesus and you want to worship Jesus and Jesus heals you in the midst of communion? That's amazing. That's amazing. Praise Jesus. You know what I'm trying to say? So, in other words, so I don't have this gift, but I just wanted to share it so that in case some of you do, that would be a way to encourage you to further pursue that gift and the use of that gift. Okay, we're going to move on. Let's go to the next one, actually. Works of powers. The way to understand my definition of this is that all you have to do is you go to like a topical Bible under miracles and powers, and then you kind of, you know, right? You do the same thing what I did with knaves there, and then you'll see. You'll come to the same conclusion. That's the way you do it. Here's my definition. The works of power is this Spirit-given ability to regularly, okay, be the conduit through whom God does miraculous works such as exorcisms, healings, raising from the dead, supernatural discipline, and so on. Did I put references there? Did I put references in the thing for that? A scripture where I did. Okay, good. Look that up at home. Okay, good. Good. I'm just going to read this in terms of how it's a blessing. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry demonstrated not only the power to heal, but also the power to drive out demons, to walk on water, multiply bread and fish, turn water into wine. His ultimate miracle was his resurrection. Some of his enemies thought that he was blasphemous by claiming to be God's son. More than that, Jesus' speech was what aroused their anger to have him killed, because Jesus not only claimed to be God, but displayed and taught the perfect holiness of God, but also humanity's sin, revealing our hypocrisy and the punishment that every one of us deserves. These enemies of Jesus thought that by killing him, they would get rid of him. They were wrong. He was crucified and died on the Roman cross. He was buried, and in 3 days he rose from the dead. Humanity's undying enemy, death, was put to death in Jesus' resurrection. And today, Jesus has ascended into heaven and granted some of his people gifts to do miracles, to show glimpses of his power. That can be only done in the name and authority of Jesus. Okay. And I recommend to really learn from those who have experienced this, perhaps have this gift, or those who have written who have biographies written about them that have used this gift, to learn both how to use this gift properly. There's a lot of abuses. Remember, by the way, damn, there's not enough space here. Remember the three categories I was sharing with you about the perspective on the gift? What's this side again? Who don't believe in the existence of the gift? It's called what? The really cessationists, right? This group of Christians and churches do not believe in these miraculous gifts, right? Many times because of the abuses on what's that far side again? What's that far side that believes and practices actively? Huh? Thank you. Charismatics, right? Mostly because they go like, those guys are like, you know, abusing. Just, if you read the news and like here, you can hear numerous abuses. Like, not to mention people that try to make money off of it and be millionaires through this gift. It's terrible, right? And like having fake healing, it's terrible. It's terrible. So many abuses, it's terrible. Which is why this side is like, I don't want anything to do with that. In my opinion, here we go. In my opinion, I think they view that and they're scared, partly. And they're like, I'm going here. Those gifts don't exist. We're not going to teach that to our people. I kind of want us to be here. There's no space, okay? I kind of want us to be here, you know? I think we are here. I kind of want us to be here, okay? Because sometimes we could go here and we'd be like, yeah, okay, right? Because some of the things I'm talking about when I was sharing with you, I said, how many of you have experienced some of these things? And very few of you nodded, right? But I refuse to believe that in our local church, these gifts that are so-called miraculous gifts do not exist among us. I refuse to believe that. It just doesn't make sense, right? You know what I mean? Right? Because we're so different, right? Right? And the Bible says that he has given these gifts to his whole body. I refuse to believe that not one person has these gifts, which is why when we talk about this, I want to be very careful in the definition and the practice, right? And so when you examine, if you find yourself possibly having this gift, oh, well, first of all, come talk to me. Don't just go use it for like a year and then like, oh, Pastor James, all these people hate me. I'm like, why didn't you talk to me? I told you to talk to me. I'm like, because I said all these crazy things. I'm like, I know. You should talk to me first if you don't know how to use this gift, you know? Like, not that I know how to use the gift experientially, but at least I've talked to people who have and I can guide you a little bit. Or point you to someone who has. Actually, I know, yeah, a brother or I can refer you to someone who may have this gift and is mature in the Lord. And so you learn from those mistakes. You learn how to use it well. You learn to avoid the pitfalls. Does that make sense? Of each of these gifts. Let's move on. This last one is the gift of the judgments of spirits. First, I want you to notice the plurality of the judgments of spirits. By the way, a brief note. The gifts of healing is actually also plural, by the way, right? So it may imply that there might be different type. Like, I don't want to stretch it too far. So this is my guess. Okay, remember the categories? I'm using it more now that I give you my legend, okay? Okay. It may imply that perhaps a distinction in some people have the gift of physical healing, maybe mental healing, or spiritual healing. I'll just give you that thought, okay? Here, the judgments of spirit is plural, which is why you're like, why did I pluralize both words? I'm like, because that's in the original language. Judgments of spirits, okay? Which implies, I think there's a very, very strong case, 75%, there you go, 75% certainty, in my opinion, the distinguishing between, first of all, we're talking about the spiritual realm here. We're talking about angels and demons. Isn't there a movie on that? Anyway, angels and demons, right? Fallen angels that are demons. We're talking about that realm here. And when we talk about the spirit, we're talking about angels, we're talking about God, the Holy Spirit, right? We're talking about the spiritual realm. And the pluralization of spirits imply that there are at least two categories, right? Good and bad. Does that make sense, right? Okay, so just note that, the plurality. Number two, what is the word judge? In the ESV, it says, in this passage, 1 Corinthians 14:29, if memory serves me well, in the ESV translation, it says, let the others weigh the prophecy. Is that right? Right? Some of you found it? Right? Weigh what it said. I want to give you other two translations. That's from these two. The NLT tells us, evaluate. The New American Standard Bible, NASB, tells us to pass judgment. Regardless, here's the meaning of it. Of the word, it is the word to many times used in a court of law, sometimes used in just natural life, to distinguish the good and the bad, right and the wrong, good and evil, and call it for what it is, to declare it for what it is. Does that make sense? This is good. We should have more of it. This is bad. Avoid it. This is good, as in moral sense. We should be like that. This is evil. This is evil. We should condemn evil acts in our world. Evil. Does that make sense? Okay. So, that's what the verb means. What does it mean to then evaluate and pass judgments on spirits, whether good or bad? Okay. A sister in Christ, this one sister in Christ that I met in my previous church, she really helped me. But she said, no, you don't have to, I think she was trying to be humble. Don't have to, say her name or whatever. She was sharing with me, and I don't have this gift, so I need to rely on the body of Christ to help me, pass on to you whatever they know, right? Her and her husband were at a work party. She's got a sense that there's a man that doesn't feel right. Spirituality aside for a second. Have you ever experienced, you meet someone, you look them in the eye, right? And I'm not talking about people that look violent or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm not talking about that. I'm saying they look like you and me. Like middle class, right? You know what I mean? And you look at them and you meet them, you shake their hand, you're like, for some reason, you're like, something doesn't feel right. Have you ever had that before? That kind of feeling, right? Okay, imagine that in the spiritual realm, okay? And that's how she described, and I won't elongate the story. Maybe in private conversation you can ask me if you're interested, but regardless, that's what she sensed, and there were spiritual reasons why in regards to a practice in pagan and idolatry practices. But she just said, and then it got confirmed is what I'm trying to say, right? And so another brother gave this really good insight, and I said, how would you describe how these gifts are used? And he said, this gift of discerning spirits, that is, and first I'll give you a definition. Sorry, definition, yeah. Yeah, next slide, yep. It is the spirit-given ability to intuitively sense whether the source of a teaching or a power is from demonic spirits or from God, the Holy Spirit. Okay? Okay. It's to intuitively sense, and how you know that you have the gift is later on things happen that confirm that you were correct. That's how you know. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. And I asked this brother, whose wife had this gift, who she's telling me the story, right? And I said, how would you describe how this gift works in the body of Christ? And he gave a really good analogy. He said, a country's radar and an immune system. A country's radar and an immune system. I'm like, what do you mean? Well, if you have brothers and sisters in Christ who have this gift of distinguishing spirits, they act, because what's a radar for a country? A lot of the times it's to identify what's foreign, an enemy, right? To protect the body or the country from enemies coming inside, namely false teaching or oppressive spirits. You need to reflect on that a little bit, okay? I won't go on. And then second, immune system. What do you mean? He said, for immune systems, to identify and reject diseases and viruses in the body so that we can make it healthy again, you see? When there's something off within our congregation, something off, it could be very scary and it could be very easily misused, because if you think about it, just think about it for a second. At any point in the life of our church and in our lives, we can succumb to the weaknesses of our personality and circumstance and sin tendency so that we end up making life decisions that are shocking, okay? In that moment, we may hide it from each other, okay? But if one of us has this gift, they will kind of sense it without you telling them. Now, it could be very powerfully helpful and extremely destructive. I'll paint the picture for you. Destructive? How could you do that? How could you do that and dishonor God? What happens as a result? They often leave the church and get totally bruised. If they have close friends in the church, it doesn't even matter what their lifestyle was. The close friends might take their side and then the church is divided. You see what I'm saying? Right? How could you do that? I know you're walking away from the Lord. You have that ability, right? Right? Okay. Or you go, and you got to use, that's why, and one of the mentors that really built into my life in my first church, his name is Pastor Ray Woodard. And I remember over lunch one time, I was 21, right? I'll never forget it. He made a comment about spiritual gifts. He said, James, if God has gifted you in various ways to help the church, you need the character, the godly character, to bear the weight of the gifts. Some people don't have the character to bear the weight of their gift. And then they bruise and divide the body, you see? Because you can imagine, if done well, right? The person just prays for this person, develops a friendship, greets them, because normally, most of the time, when you're in deep sin, you kind of don't want to talk to people, and then you come to service, and then you leave. That's usually what I find, a common pattern in believers that fall into it. Like, you feel guilty, and you're ashamed, and you don't want people to ask questions in case, like, you accidentally misspeak, and then you reveal you're doing this, and, you know, that embarrassment, you know what I mean? And then, so they're being, like, very, like, and then provided, like, sometimes our church community, as best as we can, is to kind of welcome people. We kind of, like, miss out on them because they, like, sit in the corner. But then you have this gift, if you're using it well, you've been praying for them for months, and you know what's, you kind of get a sense of what's going on, and you have this gift. And you always greet them with a friendly smile. And then somehow God, in his sovereign way, allows this person who's going through a tough time and struggling and going towards darkness, comes to you and says, like, thank you for greeting me each time. I've been struggling. This is like 6 months later. They come to you now, you with the gift. And they go, like, I've been struggling with this. And you say, I know. I've been praying for you. I want you to know God loves you. He wants you back. I want you to know that. You see? And I don't have this gift, but I personally experience when, and I failed many times, by the way, so it's not like I'm good at, you know, dealing with these sensitivities, but there was at least one time I can think about one person in my life that I didn't have the gift, but like I tried to use that same approach. They came back to the Lord and walked away from darkness. You know what I mean? Imagine that happening in our church. It could be easily misused, dangerous, risky, but if used well, think about the beauty in that, right? Think about how amazing our body, our community would become if used well, which is what I'm trying to advocate. And so I think I'm just gonna have the worship team come up, and I'll leave my concluding comments at the end before I pray, and we're gonna sing to the Lord in response.